You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Well, this one should be good. Here we go. All right.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. He still isn't wearing a cowboy hat. I don't know what's up with that. I'm a little upset. Maybe he's got boots on. Maybe that's it.
I got the boots.
There we go. He's got the boots. He's the founding editor of Up North News. It's Pat Kreitlow.
That would be me. I think we're going to go visit the Fort Worth Stockyards today and get a feel for, you know, what those cowboys do with the longhorn steers and things like that. My daughter, who lives down here, can't wait to show it off. So
she's really excited about that.
She is. Well, I've seen some video when she's taken other guests there, so apparently it's a big deal. So I will be talking about cattle tomorrow, I promise. But I do have the boots. I actually do have a very good looking black cowboy hat. I don't have any need to wear it here.
Yeah.
I'm not doing anything that's deserving of having to pack that thing away.
Oh, so, you didn't bring it?
I did not bring it.
Dude.
But, you know, I might see a better one. So
you might see a better one. I'll give you that.
I might have two cowboy hats by the time this is all said and done. Nice to have you back here. It's just about, well, it's 7:07 right now. And coming up this hour, we're going to be talking to Sheila Everhart from the Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism Association and dairy farmer Hans Breitenmoser. We'll talk about the apple crop in Wisconsin. We'll talk about the trade war. We're going to talk a little bit about that in this segment as well. And the ways that the government shutdown is being made worse by people like Donald Trump and his transportation secretary, Sean Duffy. That's all coming up. First, let's check the mailbag here. Rob says, good morning from Tigerton. Clear skies, 40 degrees right now. Yesterday, he was doing paperwork for the mowing season. Took pictures of the farmers that leased my family's property that were chopping up corn. We talked about Reading Rainbow in the last segment, and Alicia was all over that in YouTube, saying Reading Rainbow is very much a millennial thing, so that's great. We were talking about the Ozzy Osbourne documentary coming out, and Tony puts up, there's just always something interesting about a guy who eats bats, you know, just saying. On Banned Book Week, which you can read about in the Up North News Daily newsletter, Alicia says that the Milwaukee Public Library has a great TikTok on banned books. The Milwaukee Public Library has had a lot of great TikToks. And so, yes, I would definitely be looking forward to reading about that. Let's see. Tony also was expressing his happiness with the great emotions of Jacob Mizorowski coming out of the bullpen yesterday. And Roger from Stevens Point says, I'm grateful for Andrew Vaughn's home run, which was the first inning equalizer in yesterday's game. Yes, absolutely. For folks that might have missed it, and you know, some of us did go to bed early, but it felt like the game was well in hand. The Brewers defeated the Cubs last night in Game 2 of the National League Division Series. Final score 7-3, and all of the runs for the Brewers came on home runs this time, compared to Game 1 where the Brewers scored 9 times and none of them came off of home runs. But yeah, you had the Andrew Vaughn 3-run homer in the bottom of the first to offset a Cubs 3-run homer in the top of the first. You had a William Contreras solo shot, and then you had Jackson Churio with his own 3-run homer to help the Brewers beat up the Cubs and take a 2-0 lead in the series. And so they are just one win away from going to the National League Championship Series, where they will face the winner of the Dodgers-Phillies series, which the Dodgers are up 2-0 on Philadelphia. It was a bullpen game for the Brewers because Brandon Woodruff is out with an injury, so Aaron Ashby opened things up. He did give up that 3-run homer in the first, but after that, how's this for a bullpen game? Nick Mears, Jacob Mizorowski, Chad Patrick, Jared Koenig, Trevor McGill, and Abner Uribe. 7 1/3 innings of shutout relief and allowed just one hit and just a couple of base runners. Jacob Mizorowski threw three scoreless innings to earn the win, and he had pitches that topped out Parker at 104.3 miles an hour. And I know it sounds like hyperbole, but I really do. I'll say it again one of these times. You're going to hear the announcers going, "Oh, his arm fell off. His arm's just laying there in the grass." So, yep. I could see that happening.
It's like a Toy Story or something when Woody's arm falls off.
Exactly. And he just waves it and plugs it back in and throws it at 105 miles an hour, you know, the next time around. Could totally see that happening. I was a little concerned when he ran all the way to first base on a ground out to make the play himself, but he had acknowledged after the game he was just feeling so pumped up he was afraid he would overthrow Andrew Vaughn at first base, which but you know,
he's done before.
I could totally see that happening, and it would just I would go crazy if that happened.
Yeah, he did the right thing. I was worried that he was gonna blow out a hamstring when he jumped up in the air celebrating.
Oh yeah, that was the other thing. I mean, because again, you can get some really goofball injuries, like people who've stomped on home plate coming in from a home run and twist an ankle or something.
Did you see during the Phillies game before the Brewers game that an umpire definitely pulled a hamstring while making an out call?
No. Oh, no.
It was in all of its slow motion glory, too, because it was a replay review.
Embarrassing.
And he just goes, he punches him out, and all of a sudden he's like, oh!
Oh, no.
That sucks.
See, even if you're an umpire, you got to do those stretches, you know. No, it was one of those cases where, again, the Dodgers-Phillies game ran a little long, and so they started the Brewers-Cubs game over on TNT before moving it back to TBS. We're here at my daughter's place using one of those satellite systems that doesn't really, you know, you don't pick the channel so much as you pick the game. And then it goes to that channel. But of course, if it's on a different channel, good luck going to find it. I mean, we did eventually find a way to find the right channel to do that. But it's one of those TV things that just always bugs me. It's like, just put the game where it's supposed to be.
Yeah, you know? You should. But you know what? You don't need to worry about it when you listen to it on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Funny that you should say that, because game three, oh, I've got my graphic is wrong on there. Game three of the series will be at Wrigley Field, and that will be tomorrow afternoon. The pregame will get started at 3:30 on several Civic Media stations, Richland Center, Oshkosh, Racine, Park Falls, and Hayward, where you could conceivably see the Brewers sweep. Now, again, if they don't, then game four will be at Wrigley. And then if needed, a deciding game five would be back at American Family Field come Saturday. So they're, again, it'd be nice to wrap it up tomorrow, but you just got to win one out of the next three.
Yeah. I think as long as we win it at Chicago, I will be happy.
That would feel really nice. Oh yeah. Yeah. I could totally get into that. So, so again, congrats to the Brewers for a nice victory there and giving us a little distraction from some of the realities of our headlines today, which include, you know, a trade war, that include a government shutdown and things like that. You had, President Trump saying yesterday, indicating that he would be supportive of doing some kind of a bailout plan for America's farmers, since China's buying nothing, not the $12 billion worth of soybeans, for example, that they typically buy in a year, but zero. And so all these farmers have no market to go to with their beans and corn and everything else. So Trump's quote from yesterday was, "I'm going to do some farm stuff this week." That'd be the president of the United States telling you and making farmers feel real good, saying, "I'm going to do some farm stuff this week." The stuff is probably going to be some kind of checks that get sent to farmers to, you know, keep them from going out of business. It's the same thing that happened in 2018 when Trump started a trade war with China. It cost taxpayers $20 billion to help support farmers. And by the way, we got nothing for that. I mean, eventually China and the U.S., they just resumed trade slowly and eventually. But at the time, China went and got their soybeans from Brazil. And guess what they're doing right now? They're getting their soybeans from Brazil and Argentina, a country we just sent billions of dollars to in a government bailout. And Republican lawmakers told the New York Times that they think that a potential farm bailout this time around won't cost $20 billion, but cost more like $50 billion. And what gets me is how they say this so nonchalantly, like, well, you know, it might cost us $50 billion. The people who used to be described as fiscal conservatives, but don't think twice about this. It does not occur to them to say, hey, maybe this guy, the president, yeah, he says he's in our party, but he's driving up the debt. He's driving up budget deficits. He's not accomplishing anything with these tariffs. We're Congress. We can actually limit these tariffs and find another way to negotiate better trade deals. We could maybe do that. But they don't. Everybody's just going along with what one guy says, no matter how uninformed it might be, no matter how harmful it might be, because he's their guy. Take the last shutdown, which not only had the big farm bailout, but you also had air travel that was starting to get gummed up as air traffic controllers and people working TSA and others stopped showing up for work because they weren't getting paid. They were using sick days, vacation days. They weren't taking extra shifts. You would think, again, maybe this is something we want to avoid again. But we are heading that way again. And that's according to the U.S. Transportation Secretary, Sean Duffy, former congressman from up north, who knows a thing or two about bad budget deals and government shutdowns. And yet, what is he saying? He's basically threatening, promising that everybody's going to be facing travel delays. He says, and he's saying this in from the standpoint of safety, I guess. He says, quote, if we think there's issues in the airspace, we will shut it down. We will close it down. We will delay. That's his way, I guess, of saying to Democrats, you guys ought to blink. You guys ought to cave, or else there's going to be air travel delays. When, again, the better course of action would be for people like Sean Duffy to acknowledge that Americans actually don't want massive healthcare cuts and the government shutdown that you have forced as a result of it. Because air traffic controllers, they are required to work through the shutdown, but they're only going to get paid retroactively whenever the shutdown ends. And it was their failure to show up for work last time around that led to the eventual deal that ended the government shutdown on Monday. Duffy said that officials had seen, quote, a slight tick up in sick calls from controllers since the current shutdown began last week. The FAA has already started to slow traffic, did so at three airports yesterday using a ground delay program. That's a traffic management tool in which the agency holds flights from departing other airports if they are headed for one with limited capacity. And as somebody who has flown this week and has had to sit on the tarmac for a while waiting for takeoff, I can't tell you how much I'm looking forward to that possibility again later this week, flying back out of Dallas later in the week if this thing continues to drag on. And all indications are it will continue to drag on. We'll find out for sure in a live report from Washington, D.C. in our next hour when we talk to Cam Stevenson from Courier Newsroom and also author of the Below the Beltline, Below the Beltway newsletter that you can get through Courier Newsroom. We'll talk to Cam Stevenson live from Washington, D.C., and Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation area about things that are happening in the Wisconsin state capitol. Again, that's all in our 8 o'clock hour. Coming up in about 15 minutes here, we will talk to Hans Breitenmoser and Sheila Everhart. A little more farm talk when we come back, especially emphasizing the apple harvest for this year. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Get yourself signed up for our daily newsletter at upnorthnewswi.com. Click subscribe in the banner on top of the homepage. Ellie Bordeaux puts together our weekday newsletter, including a story about Banned Books Week and some virtual book clubs that are out there with an emphasis on reading banned books. Again, that and much more at upnorthnewswi.com. Click subscribe up in the banner on top of the homepage. There is a new story on the Milwaukee Journal website from reporter Dan Bice. The headline, Representative Tom Tiffany erases abortion, gun rights, and other issues from his personal website. And Bice notes, you know, and actually, let me back up a step before I tell you what's in the Dan Bice article today. I haven't done this for a little while. I want to make sure I do this. When I share things out of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, the New York Times, and elsewhere, it is never meant to be a substitute for actually subscribing and reading up on some of these stories yourself. You know, I personally am a subscriber to news websites, and you should do the same thing as well. If some of these stories intrigue you and you want to go look for them, you should be supporting good journalism. There are other places, you know, that don't have a paywall yet. They might have, for example, at Up North News, we don't have a paywall. We're never going to have a paywall. But we do have what's called a gate, and that gate invites you to share your email address so you can get a sample of our newsletter, and maybe you want to subscribe to it that way once you've taken a look at it. But, you know, there's also other ways to support good journalism through subscriptions, and that includes the work that the amazing team at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel is doing. So back to the Dan Bice story, he begins by saying, when you've been in office, state and federal, as long as Congressman Tom Tiffany, it's impossible to erase your political past, but you can certainly try. And Bice points toward a website called The Wayback Machine, which preserves snapshots of websites, and it shows that Tiffany at TomTiffany.com had a webpage as of September 17th that listed lots of hot-button issues and his positions on them, including abortion and gun safety and crime and immigration, and as he likes to always call it, communist China. But if you look at TomTiffany.com today, the issues page is gone. It's been replaced with something called Solutions, with things like protect what makes Wisconsin great and lower costs for every Wisconsinite. And apparently the new solutions page, according to the Dan Bice story, makes no mention of guns. There is one mention of immigration. There's one mention of China, nothing about abortion, nothing about the deficit. That last one makes complete sense because Tom Tiffany is as hypocritical as any other Republican in talking about the deficit. We can't afford that. We can't afford to support health care. We can't afford to support education. We're spending too much. We've got to keep the debt and deficit down, they love to say, until they just voted as they did to add another $4 trillion to the national debt to pay for more than $4 trillion in tax cuts geared toward the very wealthy. So I'm not surprised that he's saying a little bit less about the debt and deficit. But Bice goes on saying the interesting note here is that Tiffany and his team made the switch in the days leading up to his September 23rd announcement that he is now running for Wisconsin governor next year. Wisconsin Democrats, of course, were quick to call out Tiffany. You had Phil Shulman, the spokesperson for the state Democratic Party, saying Tariff Tom is scrubbing his website of abortion and other issues because he knows he's going to have to deceive voters about his extreme record if he's going to win next November. Now, folks with the Tiffany team say there's nothing unusual about updating your website when you're running for, you know, a new office, in this case, governor. But folks have also noticed that when it comes to, for example, abortion rights, that Tiffany is, in fact, some would say shifting his view on abortion. I do not say that. I don't believe he's shifted his views one moment, one little bit. He's simply trying to have it both ways. And we've talked about this shortly after he announced that he was running for governor and talking about in a very, shall we say, generic way that he supports current state law. And current state law is a 20-week limit on women's reproductive health rights. And I stand by that, and I will uphold that legislation, is what Tiffany told reporters on September 4th. He says, as the governor, I do not plan any changes. And that's very key. That's very well thought out. I do not plan any changes. in much the same way that Scott Walker had said, I'm not planning to do anything with new union busting laws. And of course, once he was reelected, like the very first bill that was sent to him by the legislature was some more union busting laws. And he could not sign that thing fast enough. And of course, when questioned, he was like, no, it wasn't one of my priorities, but it clearly was the legislature. They sent me this bill. What was I going to do? I support it. I'm going to sign. That's exactly where Tom Tiffany is. He has consistently been supportive of near or total abortion bans in Wisconsin. He's been endorsed by a couple of the most extreme groups out there that would remove women's reproductive bodily autonomy. And so don't think for a moment that if he were elected governor and if the Assembly and Senate were to stay in Republican hands and were to send him a near total abortion ban in Wisconsin, that he wouldn't sign it. He would sign it at the drop of a hat. And so the fact that he does not advertise that, he does not trumpet it on his personal website the way that he used to, does not reflect some kind of evolution. This all is, again, a reminder that you cannot simply look at what any candidate or politician says in the moment. Unless they are explicit, if they explicitly say, I have changed my position on something, I've changed my way of thinking on this, that's one thing. But when you get what Tom Tiffany's given you is just kind of this, you know, mealy-mouthed, well, I support the way things are right now. Again, people will say a lot of things to get elected. And then once they get elected, you see who they really are, which is a lot of what's reflected in what they've already said and written. Hans Breitenmoser and Sheila Everhart are coming up after the Midwest Farm Report. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Coming up in 1 hour, we'll be talking to Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area and Civic Media's political editor, and he helps put together Civic Media's new daily newsletter. Sign up for it at civicmediatoday.substack.com. Again, civicmediatoday.substack.com. All right, always nice to welcome back in a couple of friends talking to us about Wisconsin agriculture. That, of course, would be Hans Breitenmoser, a dairy farmer from the Merrill area up in Lincoln County, and Sheila Everhart from the Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism Association. Great to see you both, as always. We're going to get to a very plentiful and variety-filled apple crop coming up in just a bit here. But Hans, I also wanted to, of course, take note of the government shutdown and its impact on farmers. And then there's also some upbeat news about it being National 4-H Week. So let's get the not so happy stuff out of the way first here. A government shutdown makes for, you know, a lot of political headlines, but it's got real life impact. And what does that mean for farmers across America, for example, with the Farm Service Agency offices closed?
Well, it sort of stinks, Pat, because the Farm Service Agencies are our local connection to the federal government and any federal government programs and so forth. And one of the things that happens this time of the year, of course, is that there's a lot of corn and soybeans being harvested. And what a lot of guys will do is especially when prices are low, they harvest those commodities, and rather than sell them at harvest low prices, they will borrow against them through the Farm Service Agency. Because it helps cash flow. And right now, if you try and call the Farm Service Agency, you get a recording that says that they're not there. So it does, it's very difficult because we don't have that resource to you know, work with at a time of the year when, you know, we sort of need it. And I think the other thing to you know, that I'd like your listeners to understand is that you know, all those nameless, faceless, terrible bureaucrats that are getting laid off all the time are not just a bunch of people that live in Washington next to the Capitol. They're people that live in Wausau, Wisconsin, and in, you know, Chippewa Falls and all the places around. Our friends and neighbors are the ones who are right now sitting at home, and they would rather be at work. So it's not just the farmers that are being impacted, but it's the people in those offices.
Yeah, absolutely. And with those offices closed, it means farmers are not getting access to farm program signups, no disaster aid processing, no loan approvals, no access to market data that the government normally provides, and more. So I just wanted to get some of the real life impact of this ongoing shutdown. All right. It's 4-H week. Hans, we'll start with you and then over to Sheila. Talk about the significance of 4-H. Is it, again, for a city kid? For a city kid, they go, oh, that's something I've heard of. But was that something from the olden days of Wisconsin farming, or is that something still very relevant to rural life in Wisconsin very today?
Relevant. It's very relevant. And I think if you're a parent or a grandparent, please check out 4-H if you're not familiar with it, because there are just so many cool programs. Our kids have been in 4-H for, you know, years and years. And there's the usual things that people think of course, about bringing projects to the local county fairs and so forth. And that is a part of it. It's a big part of it. It's a really cool part of it. But there's also so many other things, like my children have taken advantage of really cool civic engagement type things and trips to, you know, exotic places like Washington, D.C. and New York and Philadelphia and so forth, and other places just right here in Wisconsin that I've chaperoned a couple trips for as well. And so it's a great opportunity for kids to learn leadership skills and really, you know, civic engagement and so forth. There's so many opportunities, educational opportunities and travel opportunities that 4-H offers that I think a lot of people just don't know about. And it's also a great place for grownups to get involved with, you know, with the rearing of our children as far as, you know, chaperoning these trips and so forth, because it does, by God, take a village.
It sure does. And Sheila, you know, for National 4-H Week, you talk as well about 4-H getting people ready for a career and frankly, just getting ready for life as well.
Absolutely. You know, it's all about celebrating our youth, helping them prepare for college and career and life readiness. You know, a recent study said that those children, those students involved with 4-H, likely to live life intentionally and with purpose, and three times as likely to participate in community service and volunteer in our communities. And as Hans mentioned, it's about leadership roles, planning events, running meetings, and organizing service projects. So support our local 4-H.
Absolutely. Again, for National 4-H Week. So we wanted to make sure that we made mention of those things. But let's also turn to something that's rather seasonal here. We have our share of apple orchards and products and varieties and things. And I mean, to be clear, I mean, it is a sliver of Wisconsin agriculture and, you know, national agriculture as well. But there's hardly anybody out there that wouldn't accept a slice of apple pie or have a glass of cider, or Sheila, just enjoy the experience of apple orchards in Wisconsin. So it may not be the biggest part of the ag industry, but it's one of the more visible ones and frankly, one of the more enjoyable and delicious ones.
Absolutely enjoyable and delicious. And my favorite fall food is not only apple pie, but caramel apples. And, you know, traveling from orchard to orchard to see who has the best caramel apples, that's right up my alley. October is National Apple Month, and we celebrate that in promoting the consumption and appreciation of our Wisconsin apples. This started in 1904, but, you know, people enjoy eating fresh apples, picking apples from the tree, learning about the best ways to bake apple desserts, and just to experience apple cider donuts, fresh apple cider. So it's important for us to go out and support our family farms and pick up some apples along the way. There's some really cool apples up in your neighborhood, Pat, apple orchard, all on County Highway 00. Are you familiar with some of those orchards, Pat?
I have definitely seen them, and they are most certainly busy places this time of year. And so tell folks a bit more about what you can expect if you want to go visit some of these orchards.
Right. You have Bushel and Peck on Highway 00 in Chippewa Falls, and the Connell Family Orchard. Family Roots Orchard is the oldest orchard up in your neighborhood. And then there's Dixon's Apple Orchard, and it's really interesting about Mr. Dixon, Fred. He had started growing a famous champagne apple that he helps to create some apple ciders and some apple hard apple ciders with that champagne apple. And on our Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism Association website, we have a blog page that just was launched yesterday talking about all these different apple orchards, like the Little Farmer in Malone over in Prescott. If you want to take a drive, there's Young Acres. Avenue Orchard is up there in Eau Claire. Of course, in the Gays Mills area, we have Sunrise Orchard, Sunrise Orchards that also have activities, and you can actually see them sorting and washing their apples and pressing that apple cider. Over in the Elkhorn area, we have Apple Barn Orchard and Winery. And you know, several of our orchards are also wineries, just like Sequest Orchard, and Lattenbach Orchard up in Fish Creek. And then we have M&T Gibbsville Orchard in Sheboygan Falls. And then Heritage Orchard, they're known for their fresh apple cider in Chilton area.
Very
Do you
nice.
Like it's, apple cider, Pat and Hans?
I like apple cider, and I like the hard cider as well. I was just going to ask, Hans about that, if he's got a particular favorite apple product.
A good hard cider goes a long way, you know, after a hard day's work. But I wanted to mention Helene's Hilltop Orchard is 2 miles from my place, and absolutely a beehive of activity this time of the year. They do a wonderful job. They got lots of trees and a bakery, and it's just a total hot spot in our area this time of the year.
Yeah,
I love seeing Olivia and her husband, and they do great farm to table dinners. And I have toured their farm, and it's a beautiful bakery. So if you have a chance to visit Helene's Hilltop, get out there and enjoy the orchard.
There you go. For the hard cider now, we're turning to the adult portion of the apple discussion here. Again, it's a fermented beverage made from apple juice when the yeast converts the apple sugars into alcohol. And so, again, you've got different types, different flavor profiles. You're using different varieties with them. And so, Sheila, it's not a surprise that a place that, you know, started with, the beer industry, but now we have our share of wineries in the area, that, you know, cider would also be a natural byproduct of some of the many good things we produce in Wisconsin.
Yes. And, you know, our farmers are innovative and they're creative. And so they always take a look at what they are producing and how can they add value to their crops. And by producing hard apple cider, that is just opening another market for them to sell their products.
Yeah. Now, in terms of the variety of products and how to use them, it's been a while since I learned this, but it took me a while to appreciate that, you know, not all apple varieties are created equal, and something that you might like to eat, you know, as a plain apple is not necessarily the best one for a pie or for jelly or something like that. And I know you shared with me a rather detailed chart of all the different apple varieties you can get and all the different ways you can use them, which is not to say you can't use them for everything, but, you know, some are going to taste better than others, I would imagine.
Absolutely, you know, and some of them are across the board because the chart was created by Sunrise Orchards and Gays Mills. And so if you take a Honeycrisp apple, right across the board, they're perfect for everything. Eating, pie, sauce, baking, freezing, jelly, salad, and pickling. But if you take something like the Red Wisconsin Delicious apple, they're known for eating and they're known for salads. So, you know, when you're going out to pick your apple, of course you want to pick for flavor, but also decide if you're buying your apples in bulk, maybe you're going to get a full bushel of apples. You want to look at how are you going to utilize those apples, and finding the apple guide variety and availability and uses chart is a perfect way to help you make your apples go a lot further and last all the way through the winter season.
Yeah, I will second that. I will second that by noting that, yeah, it's something when you realize that red delicious apples are wonderful for eating, you know, right off the table there, but are not necessarily going to be the best thing to put in a pie. And then you discover something else that is. At the other end of the spectrum, you mentioned Honeycrisp is like perfect for everything. That's so true that I sometimes have to remind myself, Hans, to go shop for some other varieties. Man cannot live on Honeycrisp alone. Well, maybe I could, but you really should find out what else is the right thing for you. I've talked about Sherry's Apple Crisp being just amazing. Do you have a favorite, either a pie or something else that's your favorite apple product besides the beverages, Hans?
Well, I was going to say the hard cider. You took my answer. Look at me, Pat. Do I look like a guy that's averse to apple pie?
No.
Thank you.
You've got that all-American look to you as any dairy farmer would here in Wisconsin. And again, to learn more, you can always check out the Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism Association website. And there's so many other resources to learn more about apples in Wisconsin. We definitely appreciate the diversion to visit a virtual orchard here for a little while. Hans, thank you. Sheila Everhart, thank you so much as always. Hope you have a great day.
Thank you, Pat. Thank you for supporting Wisconsin agricultural tourism and our family farms. We appreciate Civic Media.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate that, too. Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area and Cam Stevenson from Courier Newsroom live on Capitol Hill coming up. I'm Pat Brightman.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Well, we have covered a lot of ground today, and we've still got more to do. And, of course, not everybody can sit around here for 3 hours. I mean, I do, but that's my job, to sit here from 6 to 9 a.m. sharing all this information with you. But if you can't hang around for the whole 3 hours, well, don't miss anything. You can pod this program by heading over to Spotify or Apple, wherever you get your podcast. Follow us that way, and that way you can listen at your leisure. The other thing I like about it is the speed button. And I don't know, Parker, James Kelly's with us as well from the Civic Media Newsroom. Either one of you listen to podcasts and then you kind of put it on that, you know, 1.5 speed or even double speed when you play it back?
Almost. I can't say I ever do the extra speed on it.
Oh, really? You don't? Okay.
Oh, yeah. Apparently, I'm not taking in my information as efficiently as possible.
Well, again, it's best to do it live here, but I've got one that, frankly, the person I really needed at least 1.25 speed or 1.5 speed. And sometimes if it's a guest that I'm not necessarily, I don't have to hang on every word, I will double speed that thing. Parker, you're young. You probably triple speed it all and ingest it instantly.
Times two, I can do really easily. I watch a lot of YouTube at times two speed.
Yes, I that's right. YouTube also lets you do that. And it kind of frustrates me that on my DVR, I wish you could do that. You only simply have the fast forward button, which is not the same thing. Whereas if you could play some of your programs back at double speed, that would be very handy. But look at James over here. He's very intent. He's going to get all the information in real time, the way that God meant it to be.
Yeah, luckily I talk fast too.
And it works out well for you. So James is following several stories for us at Civic Media at the newsroom in Chippewa Falls. And let's start in the Chippewa Valley among the stories you're following. Folks around the state might recall that a little over a year ago, there was the abrupt closure of Sacred Heart Hospital in Eau Claire and St. Joseph's Hospital in Chippewa Falls and some Prevea clinics, all done by an Illinois-based company that just up and shut the hospitals down on virtually, you know, no notice. It was a very short window. And there has been talk ever since then about how to essentially restructure healthcare in the Chippewa Valley, not to mention these facilities that have been sitting empty. So what's the latest happening there, James?
Yeah, so the latest is that an organization affiliated with the University of Wisconsin-Eau Claire, essentially their real estate arm, has sold the Sacred Heart Hospital property on Claremont Avenue in Eau Claire. They sold it to Commonweal Development Corp, which is kind of in the early stages of planning a potential medical research and tech park. So that's going to open up a lot of interesting collaborative opportunities with the university. And the university is actually going to be holding on to about 5 acres of that land. It's right next to where their campus is in downtown Eau Claire. So they'll have some opportunities to expand there as well. So certainly an interesting development about the future of a pretty major transportation corridor there.
Yeah, absolutely. Because when I heard that the land for Sacred Heart Hospital was going to be taken over or purchased or owned by, you know, like you said, an offshoot of UW-Eau Claire, which is right next to the campus. And of course, everybody started talking about whether Sacred Heart Hospital would become, you know, another dorm. You know, essentially, it's not that far away from Towers Dorm, which is similar to some of the dorms in some of the other campuses here. And so there was a lot of speculation, but instead, like you said, maybe some medical research and other things. But I noticed the university is going to hang on to, what'd you say, about 5 acres of land?
Five of the 27 acres they'll hang on to for future expansion opportunities.
Exactly. So if you've got a landlocked campus and there's a way to get around that and maybe grow the footprint a little bit, I mean, why wouldn't you do that? So there will definitely be developments happening there, and we'll certainly keep an eye on what's happening in the Chippewa Falls site as well. Let's head much farther up north for the Enbridge Line 5 pipeline and what's happening with either rerouting that oil and gas pipeline, or some are certainly still trying to fight its operation at all. What's happening up there right now?
Yeah, so as you know, Pat, there's been this contested case hearing going on for a few weeks between Ashland and Madison. They've had multiple hearings, and last week they finally wrapped up. So the decision is now up to an administrative law judge on whether the project will go forward or whether there are environmental concerns. One thing that I did find interesting in a WPR report about this project is that the Biden administration's EPA found that there could be some risk of substantial impact to the area waterways, which is the main concern of tribal groups and environmental conservation groups. And the EPA under the Trump administration found that there would be no negative impacts to the surrounding areas. So a little bit of disagreement there. Either way, this decision can be appealed. I would assume that whichever side ends up on the losing side of the administrative judge decision will appeal that decision. So this will probably go forward.
I am shocked. Shocked, I tell you, to hear that there's a difference between the environmental harms that the Biden administration saw versus the environmental harms that the Trump administration has not seen. I am absolutely floored by this, but I don't doubt that James will continue to follow the hearings themselves. And if you're not familiar with all the background of it, Enbridge is Line 5 that runs across the northern edge of Wisconsin there. The Bad River Band of Lake Superior Chippewa wanted to stop operating. Enbridge has said, actually, we'll just route it right around the reservation. But of course, it's still in an environmentally sensitive area, which is why you have these ongoing hearings that James was talking about. And finally, let's look at the Red Cedar River, which flows, you know, through Rice Lake and then down toward Menominee. And it has long had a problem with phosphorus levels. What's the latest on what the research is showing there, James?
Yeah, so this was a report, the annual report from the Red Cedar River Water Quality Partnership. They kind of do monitor these issues with the Red Cedar watershed, which spans 9 counties, mostly in Dunn and Barron counties. Last year's report found that they kept 11,000 pounds of phosphorus out of the waterways, in large part due to kind of better soil health practices for farmers in the area, supported by DNR grants and research efforts. There's a lot of university research going into water quality these days, especially in this region, so certainly an area of impact.
Oh, gosh, without a doubt. I mean, the algae bloom problem has gone on for decades, and so every little advancement to keep phosphorus out of there is appreciated. James Kelly, following these stories and more across northern and western Wisconsin from our Civic Media newsroom in Chippewa Falls. James, good to see you. Have a wonderful day.
Have a good one, guys.
All right. And coming up in our next hour, we'll be talking to Cam Stevenson from Courier Newsroom, live from Capitol Hill, and then later Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area on what's happening at the state capitol. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.